Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis 12, we'll be reading verses 1 through 20, the whole chapter. Reminding ourselves where we're at. We've heard in chapter 5 the genealogy from Adam to Noah, and then chapter 11 we've heard the genealogy of Noah to Abraham, or Abram. And so that's where we are now with Abram. Genesis 12, verse 1, these are God's holy words. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land of to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, "Indeed I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife.' And they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. And that's God's word. So now, having seen those descendants from Adam to Abraham now, and leading us to the seed of the woman, to Jesus Christ, chapter 12 begins detailing the covenant the Lord made with Abram, calling him out of the east to come to the land of Canaan, and promising blessings to him and his descendants after him, to make from him a great nation. That in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's the promise to come. And then verses 4 and 5, you see Abram obeying the call of the Lord to go to Canaan. Verses 6 through 9, the Lord promises to Abram to give him the land of Canaan that he was in, and to him and his descendants that they had come to. And there, of course, we remember that those in Canaan were the descendants of Ham, who were cursed, and so they would eventually be destroyed or become servants of the descendants of Abram. The remainder of the passage is taken up with Abram's sin of going down to Egypt due to the famine. And there, not crying out to the Lord in the midst of famine, but he goes to Egypt in the midst of famine. And there he also called for his wife, Sarai, or Sarah later, his wife to lie, that is, bear false witness, and that she was his sister, because he feared man, the people of Egypt, instead of crying out to the Lord in famine, instead of crying out to the Lord in the midst of these people who might kill him, he decided to lie and get his wife to lie as well. And yet that just led to more danger for both of them, as we see. But because they lied, Sarai was taken away from Abram to be given to Pharaoh. And yet, God is merciful despite sin. He's merciful to Abram. He provides him with all these livestock. He provides him with safety, and he's treated well. And yet, due to the covenant promises, because there is one from Abraham who is to come, a son must be born that would eventually in the descendants lead to Christ. Isaac, as we know, Isaac has to be born, and yet has not come about yet. But his covenant promises have been promised, and so the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house. And despite the sin of Abram and Sarai, did so and delivered them from Pharaoh, even all the possessions they gained from it. And so because of his promise, that the Lord's promise went through Abram and Sarai, that from them would come a son who points to Christ as the final sacrifice. So God was merciful to them. Not merciful because of anything they did, but despite what they did. And the same thing we see throughout the Scriptures as we keep reading through them. He did so with David many times. He did so with many different of his children, despite their sin, shown mercy. And so our God is a God who shows mercy even to us. Let's pray. Our Father, we acknowledge that we have sinned against you, and apart from Christ, we are depraved, totally depraved, and that we have turned from you often and committed idolatry. And yet you, over and over and over again, because you're the God who makes covenant promises and you're faithful to those promises, you constantly show covenant mercy to us, that loving kindness and faithfulness to us. Father, you are always keeping your promises because you're the God who is faithful. And Father, we're thankful that in Christ, that despite our sin, you still showed mercy and poured upon us, showered out upon us your grace and saved us from our sins. And so, Father, now we ask that you would do so now, that you would save us from our sins, that you would turn us and deliver us from them, that we would put them to death by your Holy Spirit working in us, by your grace, that you would give us a hatred of our sin, and such a hatred of our sin, that we would be disgusted with ourselves when we commit it. And yet, at the same time, that we would be turned unto your Son, lest we go down into and be downcast in our soul. Father, help us to look to Christ, your Son, despite our sin, and in view of our sin, look to him. Because there we find in Christ our righteousness, the righteousness that we remember in the gospel that is imputed to those who believe in faith the gospel that Christ died for our sins on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day. And not only are they his righteousness imputed to us, but we are in union with Christ, righteous in your sight. We're thankful for this. And we ask that you would sanctify us and cleanse us of our sin. You would wash us and make our sin as white as snow, even through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that you have again and again given us and preached to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet we are having heavy hearts because we have not for a time partaken in the Lord's Supper. And so in that we grieve. Because of the current circumstances, we pray that you would give in that wisdom to the elders when that best to take back up again. And Lord willing, hopefully soon, because you do command us to eat and drink. and celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that you would also be with those who may be sick, and pray for Chuck and Jeannie. We praise you for the surgery that went well with Larry, and you would continue to help him recover well. And Father, we pray for Dina and Russ and others who struggle in their bodies at times with their just bones or muscles, all of us, Father, at times, and that you would keep us from great injury in this time, knowing that nobody wants to go to the hospital, and in these times nobody wants to especially go to the hospital. And so, Father, keep us from great sickness or being hurt or injury. Father, we do pray also for those in the congregation who are having children, who are pregnant. We're thankful for that you're growing your church, and you're particularly growing this congregation. We give you praise for this and an answer to our prayers, and we're thankful for the son of Becky and John, and also Marissa and Jake soon, and we ask that everything would go well with their labor and deliveries. And Father, we pray that you would protect all of them and grant blessing, even in the coming time when we will be able to celebrate the sacrament of baptism and remember our own baptisms, Father. Father, we do ask that you would grant to us a heart that loves to praise your name. And we praise you today for another pastor who's called to a church that we've been praying for in Las Vegas. We're thankful for that, that you would bless that congregation and bless Edgar and his exams as he's examined for ordination. Pray the same for Caleb Allen, for the Denison congregation. And do pray continually for the Columbia congregation. You would provide a minister for them. That is a continual ministry instead of a different preacher every week. We know that that's not easy on a congregation, and it's better for the stability and blessing of a congregation to have a minister long term. And so provide for them and some who are even our dear friends or even relatives there in that congregation. And then, Father, we do ask that you would be with us as we consider your word this morning in Romans and the difficulties that your word presents to us who are sinners, because we're not perfect by any means. And yet, Father, we pray that we would grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. We pray for our governing rulers and authorities over us, that you would turn them to yourself. You would cause them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, not only in their souls and their hearts, but so too in all their ruling. And that they would rule according to your word. And that they would promote the church of Jesus Christ. And that people would be encouraged by even the government to worship you in the churches of this nation. And Father, we pray for the church that you would reform her. And we know judgment has come upon the church. And so, Father, we pray that you would bring about repentance for the church, that they would turn from their sins and heinousness, even ourselves, and humble us before you, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And then, Father, we ask for your blessing upon us. We're thankful that you provide everything for us, that even from us, from you comes the blessing of our provision. And so, Father, as we give today, this is the Lord's Day, that we give of the first fruits, we pray that you would bless all that for the spread of your gospel to all nations, and that all nations would come and bow the knee to Christ the King and worship him alone. That is our prayer. We ask that all that we've prayed is in accordance with the will of God, your will, and where it is not, that you would perfect our prayers through Christ your Son, and that you would answer our prayers in him with yes and amen. We pray in his name. Amen.